Okay, so our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for bringing us to the end of another week. We thank you so much for your protection, for your mercies, for your blessings, for your love, for your grace. We pray that as we go into this program, that your Holy Spirit will be here among us, that you will fill us and that you will open up our minds and our hearts, that you grant us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that you will lift us up and give us encouragement to continue on the new week that will begin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Over to you, Auntie Donna.
Call me and
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to everyone who has just joined us. The Friday night worship with Stoke Newington Church. It's always good to have you both, our regular members and visiting friends. I just want to introduce the theme for this month. Throughout the month of February, we are looking at the theme, what's the point? What is the point? As we went through 2020 and many of us experienced challenging times, we experienced losses, we experienced job markets drying up, and people started to question, what is the point? What's the point of me praying anymore? What was the point of all the money I invested in my training? What was the point of the time I spent at uni? What was the point of the sacrifices I made only for us to be in a situation where there's no jobs or there's no healing or there's no answers? And people start to question their purpose and their sanity and their peace, and they ask the question, what is the point? So throughout the month of February, we have a number of speakers that will be joining us on a Friday evening to tackle that theme. And tonight's speaker is Pastor Stephen McKenzie. I like when it's familiar people because it means I don't have to say much to introduce them, other than we will pray for improvements in his timekeeping. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we have prayed and we have asked the Spirit to empower you today, Pastor. And I'm going to hand it over to you and lead us in worship for this evening.
Unmute.
Is it my time?
Yes, yes.
Let me say good night, everybody, and happy Sabbath. I don't know what Ash is talking about timekeeping. We need to pray for him. I was out on a little emergency and I just got back in just in time. And then, you know, with all this technology business, I couldn't get to sign up in time. So now I'm get connected. Is that all right? We're connected again. Good to see you all. Although I can't see some of you. Some of you like to just put your name there. So let me say hello, Stoke Newington Church. I'm Jonet, Kit. Usaba, Sharon, is that Abigail, quite a few of you there, somebody named Galaxy. We want to welcome you. Hyacinth, good to see you. Who's Kenny? Kenny Ken, I don't know. Is that my brother, Ken? But I don't know. Kenny Ken, it says. want to welcome you all. Let's just... you heard the little song that was just played just now, Follow Me. I've been listening to that song all week. And what the singer was actually trying to say is that, explaining to us that God knows our sorrow and God knows how we feel. And even though we're going through these difficult times, and even though we're going through challenging times, and it seems like everything seems to be going wrong, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, God will make a way out of nowhere. Are you with me tonight? Now, I haven't been with you on a Friday night, so I don't know how long you normally speak for. I don't know how long we normally hear for, but I'm just going to share something that I've shared before, but I'll share it again because I think it's appropriate for this time. Are you with me tonight? Good, good, good. I'm going to share something with you tonight. As Asha just introduced about what's the point? So much is happening around us that we ask that question. What's the point? I even hear people saying, "What's the point of going back to church service?" Did you ever hear that one? People, we're so used to not being at church for the past year. We haven't been at church. And some people are talking about, what's the point of going back to church? Well, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the saints together, as the manner of some is. But as you see the day approaching, guess what? We need to be fellowshipping more. But I want you to know, and I want you to know, this pandemic that's going on here, this is a deception from the devil for us to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart that this pandemic, you see, I put my glasses on, I can see myself now. this pandemic that we're going through is a distraction and a deception from the devil himself to take God's people, to take our minds off of who God really is. You know, the Bible says that we must be sober. In the book of it, and where is it? I'm trying to find it now. It's the Bible says, be sober and be vigilant, for our adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the devil is roaring at us through this pandemic. The devil is roaring at us through this unemployment. If you see how unemployment is going on, the devil is roaring at us. And you know what I found? I was watching this program on the TV one time, how the devil catches it, not the devil, but the lion catches its prey. The lion will creep up to the deer and go down low in the grass and walk up little slowly to the herd of deer, and then the lion would make an almighty roar and the herd of deer would run away. But guess what? Before it does that, the lion will focus on one of them, and when it focuses on one of them, that deer looks at the lion, and then when the lion roars, they all freeze. And when they freeze, he focuses on the one, and then the herd, most of the herd, moves away, leaving the one that is focused on the lion. And so when all the rest of the herd is gone away, that one which is focusing on the lion then pounces on it and has it. And the Bible says that the devil is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's roaring at us through this pandemic. He's roaring at us through this unemployment. And guess what? We are focusing on the devil and his roaring. And before we know it, we're so focused on him that everybody moves away from us, everybody else. And then before you know it, the devil has caught on us. And then we ask the question, what's the point? What's the point of all this stunning? Because we're looking at the problem instead of the solution. Oh, are you with me tonight? We keep on looking at the problem. What's the problem? Unemployment, high unemployment. What's the problem? People dying. What's the problem? The virus seems to be spreading. We can't travel on a plane the way we want to. We can't travel around England the way we want to. We have to wear masks. We're looking at the problem instead of the solution. Are you with me? And so that's why I want to talk about keeping our eyes on Jesus. You see, we need to take our eyes off the problem and look at who is the solution. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the answer. You remember Andre Crouch? I'm getting too excited. I'm going to slow down a little bit. You remember Andre Crouch wrote that song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. He said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And I'm just here to remind us, what's the point? What's the point of knowing who Jesus is? Because it's only through knowing Jesus Christ that we will have the answer to the problems that we face today. I wish somebody is listening to me tonight. Are you listening tonight? I can't. All of you is on mute. As you see Sister Sonia laughing away over there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Janet. I'm trying to find my text, saints. Can I get to my text? We don't even have no time. Can I get to the text? I'm talking about keeping our eyes on Jesus. The devil is going around like a roaring lion, and he's roaring at us, using this pandemic to roar at us, using all the situations around us to roar at us. Saints of God, I'm so fed up of this pandemic. And you know something? If we keep focusing on the devil, you wouldn't even come out of your house. Are you listening to me? You know something? You know when the pandemic first started? Remember it started last year sometime? And they said, I've never spent a day in my house since the pandemic started. And I heard that if you're in a certain category, you're supposed to shield in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been up and down. I've been up and down because I believe that God protects his people. And I was up and down. And I done so many funerals last year. It was unbelievable. People were worried about me. They were praying. And I was saying, you know, and then I was going through until the day they sent me the letter from the National Health Service. They sent me the letter. And when I got the letter in my hand that talked about, you are vulnerable and you need to see, my whole body went funny. I got nervous. I got that look. I've been moving around for months doing everything on it until I saw the official letter that said, you are in the category that you're supposed to be shielded. For a second, my whole body, and I thought to myself, wait a minute, why should a legal letter like this make me get all nervous when I've been moving around, knowing all the stuff. You follow what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. And so I had to take my eyes off the letter and focus on the one who's able to sustain me. I started to focus. Let me tell you something. You see, at the time I got the letter, some of you don't understand, I got every medical complication in the world. I got five. I'm overweight. That's, they say overweight people get the virus. I have high blood pressure. They say this dem is in trouble. Guess what? I suffered septicemia a few years ago that weakened your immune system. I had a thing called sarcoidosis. That one is even worse. That one is ripped down your immune system. I was on steroids for how much years? Messes up your immune system. And then worse than that, I have chronic, what a thing that you can't breathe properly. Chronic, what's the thing? Sleep apnea. That one, you don't get enough oxygen in your body. So guess what? I got five chronic things that's supposed to be, I'm at a high risk. But I get to realize, guess what? God knew what he was doing way back then, because you see, I have to sleep with an oxygen mask. And is that they're treating the people with now? The same thing that I got in my house, I've been using all the time. There were people giving people ventilator. All of a sudden now, they're using what they call the CPAP that doctors have found. When God gave me that from 2012, I got the CPAP in my house, right upstairs with my oxygen mask, everything. So when it looks like you are at a certain disadvantage, God has already prepared. Are you listening to me? I hope somebody listened. God has already put things in place to protect you, to sustain you, even when you didn't want it. From 2012, when I had, they only discovered my sleep apnea when I was in hospital 2012, drop asleep while the doctor's talking to me. And then they realized you got chronic sleep apnea while I was in hospital with septicemia. And back then, I didn't understand it. I didn't like the mask. I didn't want to wear it. But guess what? There's that same thing that's keeping me going right now. You see, I want you to know that the devil wants us to look at the negatives. Devil wants me to look at the this. He wants to look at the that. But guess what? God is able. I went to America 2 years ago. I don't even read the text yet. I'm talking about keep our eyes on Jesus. I went to America 2 years ago, and I was with Dr. Fitzroy Graham. Some of you know Dr. Fitzroy Graham. Fitzroy Graham, he told me that, listen, I need to lose weight. He told me I need to eat berries. He told me I need to eat strawberry, raspberry, blueberry, blackberry. I start to eat the berries. Then, brethren, and then he told me there's a thing that builds your immune system, 2019, called vitamin B3. I start eating them things like crazy last year. So guess what? I didn't even know pandemic was coming. But the Lord put me in a state where he knows my body, he knows what I need, and he made me do the right things. I got onto my berries, it builds your immune system. I took my vitamin D3, it builds your immune system. I even started to eat vegetarian food. Oh, hallelujah. I started to eat a little bit healthy. I cut out some of that meat. I started to eat more fish and less chicken and less this. Ask my wife, I don't even hardly eat them things that much now. God knew, he prepared me from 2019 that I could do the adjustments so that when this pandemic come, it only happens, saints, if you focus on Jesus. Are you with me? I can't even find my text, Brother Asher. Help me to find the text. I'm trying to find the text where, you know, I think it's found in Mark chapter 14. What book did I say? Mark chapter 14. I'm talking about focusing on Jesus. I just want you to know that when you focus on Jesus, you will do the impossible even in the midst of a pandemic. You will achieve the impossible even in the midst of what seems to be impossible. So I was reading Mark chapter 14. What book did I say? I'm trying to run through this thing very quick. No, it's not Mark chapter 14. Let me get back. Let me get back over there. I've lost my chapter where I'm supposed to be. The feeding of the 5,000. Where's that, saints? Where's that five? Matthew. I'm in the wrong chapter. Matthew, let me go back over there. Matthew, go back over there. My favorite chapter is Mark. My favorite book is Mark. Is it Matthew 14?
Is it Matthew 5?
No, Matthew 14. I went over to Mark and I should be in Matthew 14. Matthew, am I there? Let me see. My glasses working. You remember the story? Jesus fed the 5,000. You remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 14. I went over to the wrong chapter. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus fed the 5,000. Not even 5,000. They said 5,000 men besides women and children. I don't even want to get into that. But it was fed the more than 5,000 people. The Bible says, and straightway after he had fed them, verse 21, when they had eaten, there were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples, and he said to them, get into the ship and to go before him over to the other side. I'm talking about focusing on Jesus. Are you with me, saints of God? Even in this pandemic, you will do the impossible when you focus on Jesus. And he says, and when he had sent the multitude away, verse 23, he went up into the mountain apart to do what? Are you with me? He went up into the mountain apart to do what?
Pray.
Now, let me pause here a little while. Saints of God, Jesus knew trouble was coming. Jesus knew trouble was ahead. Jesus knew that some great problem was going to come upon the disciples. And what did Jesus do after he fed the disciples? He went away into the mountain to pray. And saints of God, in this pandemic, we as God's people need to be spending time in prayer. Oh, wish somebody was listening tonight. We need to be people of prayer so that we will understand what's the point. Mm-hmm. The only way we're going to understand what's the point of this whole situation is if we spend time in prayer and in God's word. The Bible said Jesus went away and he went apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship, look at this now, verse 24. Where was the ship? The Bible says, was in the midst of the sea. And what was happening to the ship? The Bible said the ship was being tossed with waves, for the winds were contrary. The Bible said the ship was in the midst of the sea, being tossed with waves. Some of you might feel like you're being tossed with waves right now with this pandemic. Some of you studied for 4 years and 3 years and 6 years, and some of you have been studying at university, and right now you can't find a job. You feel like you're being tossed with the waves, and the unemployment was one thing, but then guess what? Pandemic come with the other thing, and then all these other things pile up on top of, and we feel like we're being tossed by wind and the waves. And the Bible says the ship was in the midst of the sea because the winds were contrary. And saints of God, I believe the winds of strife are contrary today, blowing on the people of God. That's causing us to ask the question, what's the point? And the Bible says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And I'm just here to let somebody know that whenever you feel tossed by the winds and the waves, whenever you feel tossed by the problems around you, whenever you feel like things are contrary, rest assured, Jesus always comes walking to us. He always comes into our situation in the midst of our time of trouble. That's why we need to be people of prayer. He came walking to them on the sea. And the Bible says, and when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And the Bible said they cried out for fear. Have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to do right, you're being tossed to and fro, and when God reveals himself, you're not even sure that it's God? You can't believe that it's true. The Bible said when they were frightened for their life. Some of us right now, listen to me, Christian friends, some of us right now are frightened for our lives. Because of this pandemic, we're frightened for our lives. Because of the threat of unemployment, we're frightened for our very existence. But I want you to know that whenever we're frightened, whenever we're fearful, whenever we cry out for fear, the Bible says, verse 27, straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. And the disciples must have thought to themselves, you know where we are? We're in the middle of a storm. How are we going to be of good cheer? But do you know something? When you hear the voice of Jesus, all we need to do is hear his voice. When we hear God's voice, when we hear the voice of Jesus saying, be of good cheer. I don't know about you, saints, but I've been in a situation where I was frightened for my life. And you know, sometimes you be in a situation where people are trying to get you when you're at school, and gangs are trying to get you, and little bad boys are trying to get you. And then, you know, when you hear your family voice, like, you know, the McKenzie's a big family, you know. And sometimes I remember in school one time, there was a family. They called the Sobers family, and they were beating up the word came, and they said they were beating up one of our family members. The McKenzie's was a big clan in my primary school. And I won't tell you which one of the Mackenzies they were fighting, but then but they told me later on that when they heard my voice come, and the rest of the Mackenzie clan came around, and we just came in there. Sage, have you ever been in a situation where you feel that you're outnumbered, but then you hear one of your family members, you hear one of your friends turn up, and all of a sudden you just feel big and bad because it's your family, it's your friend? I want you to know that when you hear the voice of Jesus, when he said, "Be of good cheer," all of a sudden you don't see the storm anymore, you don't see the problem anymore, you don't see the trouble anymore. Let me tell you something, saints. When we hear Jesus's voice saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid," the Bible says Peter heard the voice of Jesus, he got so excited, and Peter altered and said unto them, "If it be thou," I wish somebody was here that could speak Greek, because if you read the Greek Bible, you know, it didn't say if, Peter said, "If it be thou." When you read the Greek translation, it doesn't say "if it be." What Peter said is, "Since it is you." When you read the Greek translation in the original language, Peter was not in any doubt as to who Jesus was. Peter knew it was him. And if you translate it correctly from the Greek, he would say, "Since it is you, bid me to come on the water." Because when you say, "If it be thou," that sounds like it's doubtful. But the real translation should be, "Since it is you, bid me to come on the water." And guess what? Jesus just said, "Come." I want you to understand, saints of God, that when there's problems around us, when there's trouble surrounding us, when there's problems on every hand, and when you're asking the question, what's the point? I tell you what's the point. Look, God allows us to end up in some of these struggles sometimes just so that we can look to him, just so that we can hear his voice, just so that we can turn our eyes up on Jesus and look full into his wondrous face. And the song says, "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." I don't mean to get excited. I feel like I should be in a pulpit today, but let me just stay in the word. Can I stay in the word? The Bible said, "Be of good cheer, it is I." And Peter said, "Lord, wait a minute, since it's you, Jesus, bid me come onto the water." And Jesus said to him, "Come." Saints of God, I'm here to let you know, when you focus on Jesus, you will do the impossible. Peter stepped down out of the boat and defied the laws of gravity. Peter stepped out of the boat and began to do the impossible. He walked on water. I'm here to let some of my saints of God. God is good. God is good. God is merciful. He walked on water to go towards Jesus. He began to do the impossible. I just want you to know, in the midst of this pandemic, if you focus on Jesus, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will still be able to do the impossible. You will keep healthy. I wish somebody was here. In the midst of this pandemic, you will keep folks. You will get a job in the middle of this troublesome time. You will be able to achieve more than what you started off to do when you focus on Jesus. Somebody listening to me tonight, I'm trying to bring a word of encouragement to somebody. Saints of God, so listen, some of you think this pandemic is something bad, but let me tell them, you should have grown up when I was growing up in this country. When I was growing up here, guess what? You couldn't get a job because of the color of your skin. You couldn't even pass your qualifications in school. Some of you got degrees and bachelor's and master's degree. When I was coming up in school, they didn't even want us to do our O-levels. They didn't even want us to do our CSEs because they told us we were better to do sports than it was to do things. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Right now, some of you have it good, but you think it's bad. But when I was growing up, listen, they never put me through. I couldn't pass my exams. I couldn't, because the teachers them didn't encourage us. They didn't want us to do. And so when I got to 18, 19, saints of God, I felt so discouraged. I felt like I couldn't get a job. The only job I was going to be able to do. And when you look in the Adventist church, everybody qualified. Everybody doing good. Everybody qualified and doing all kinds of stuff. And the worst thing I used to hate was when they used to call out everybody's grades, and you don't have no grades. So you don't know about that. But I remember when they used to call out the children's grades that got their O-levels. They call out everybody great that got A levels. Me never had no, that even CSE. My GCSEs, I had one GCSE. My one GCSE that I thought was grade D, I found the certificate is grade E. Let me tell you something. At 18, 19 years old, when I'm getting ready to do, and then the only job I was going to be able to do was warehouse work or driving job. And I started to feel when everybody else going off to special university, special college, and special big job. Until, guess what? Until I went away down to Broomhill House, I met a man named Pastor Cavallo. He preached that day about the loving touch, the saving touch, the healing touch, the quickening touch, the compassionate touch, the saving touch. Every day he spoke about a different touch. And our theme was, he touched me. And at the last weekend of that meeting, God spoke to me and he touched me when 58 of us stood around and rain was falling and none of us got wet. Jesus touched me. I came back to London full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God. And I had my motto, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, because now I was focusing on Jesus. Saints of God, when you're focused and you have that relationship with Jesus, you will do the impossible. Came back to London, saw that they had jobs for community center manager. And I said, I can do all things through Christ. And I went and applied for the job. And when I looked at the job and I went to the job, say, if you want to see me, go for the job. They told me it was in the Edmonton Association of Community Groups. They started to interview me. They said, what experience do you have? I said, well, I'm the youth leader of the Stonington Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we have so many, there was over 100 young people. I'm the youth leader of over 100 young people. They said, wow, this is very good. They asked me a few more questions. I told them that I'm the sports coordinator for the East London Youth Federation. How many hundreds of young people all over London? I told them about sports day. I told them about activities. I told them about what we do at Hainault. For I was going on about the church. They were so happy with me that, saints of God, the job was mine. You see, I was focusing on Jesus. I could do the impossible. But then when I left there, I told you this story before, but I'm telling it to you again because we need some encouragement tonight. When I left there now, guess what? All I could think about was the money that I was going to get. All I could think about was the car that I was going to buy. I started to think about the rims that I was going to buy. I see Asher smiling. I started to think about alloy rims, a vinyl sunroof. I started to think about shoes that I was going to buy from the Grant Shoe Shop in Dalston, where they had snake skin shoes and they had alligator skin shoes. And I started to think about Day of Fellowship. And when I turn up at Day of Fellowship with my clothes and all the sisters gonna see me when I turn up at Day of Fellowship. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Saints of God, I took my eyes off of Jesus. And when you take your eyes off Jesus and focus, the Bible says the winds was boisterous when Peter, they were being tossed to and fro. But when Jesus came, it didn't say that the wind stopped. It just said he saw Jesus. He was so excited by Jesus. He focused on Jesus. And Jesus said, come. And irrespective of the winds, as long as you focus on Jesus, you will do the impossible. But saints of God, when you take your eyes off, I never forget when I reach home and the people call me and tell me I never got the job. I knew the job was mine. When I reach home, they call me and tell me it wasn't mine. I fell down on my knees and I cried out from the depths of my heart, Father, forgive me. Because I took my eyes off of him, started to think about material things. And you know something? So even in this pandemic, many of us are just thinking about material things for ourselves. We're not even thinking about the relationship and how we can help others and how we can be a blessing to others. All we're thinking about is, well, I won't be able to get my car. I won't be able to get my house. I won't be able to get this. Let me tell you something. God has placed us here for something bigger than that. He's placed us here to be his light in a dark place. But saints of God, I took my eyes off Jesus. But and you know something? But the thing I like about this story is when Jesus said unto Peter, come. When Peter come down out of the ship, verse 29, and he went towards it, he walked on the water. He did the impossible to go to Jesus. But verse 30 said, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was able to do the impossible while he focused on Jesus. But whenever we take our minds and our eyes off Jesus and we start to look at the problems around us, If all we can do is look at this pandemic around us, saints of God, we will begin to sing. Bible says when he took his eyes off Jesus and he saw the winds boisterous, the winds are boisterous all the time. The difference was this, that he focused while he was looking at Jesus, he did the impossible. But when we take our eyes off Jesus, we will begin to sink. The Bible says, I remember that day when I went for that interview, I was focused on Jesus. I was doing the impossible. The minute I took my eyes off of him, I didn't get the job. Then I got on my knees and I prayed. The Bible says, listen, when Peter began to sink, the only thing he could do, verse 30, was cry out and say, Lord, save me. Cried out from the depths of his heart. He said, Lord, save me. And the good thing I like about this story, verse 31, the Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He didn't wait until tomorrow. He didn't wait until next week. He didn't wait until a few more moments. The Bible says, whenever we cry out from the depths of our heart and we say, Lord, save me, the Bible says Jesus will immediately stretch down and catch us and place us on solid ground. I remember that day when they told me I didn't get the job. I got on my knees and I cried out to God and I said, Father, forgive me for taking my eyes off you. Forgive me for not giving you the glory. And then you know something, a little bit later the people phoned me back again and they said, we don't have that job for you, but we have a part-time job for you somewhere else in another part of our project. Let me tell you something, immediately God will stretch forth his hand and he will catch us and place us on solid ground. And then he asked him, he said, oh thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt me? And saints of God, I know things are rough right now. I know things are challenging right now. But I want you to know that what's happening around us is a deception from the devil so that we take our eyes off Jesus and we'll focus on the issues. He wants us to take our eyes off Jesus. But when you focus on Jesus, you will do the impossible. Even in the midst of this pandemic, focus on Jesus. He will sustain you. Focus on Jesus. And the song that we played before, and I'm going to ask Asha to play it again. You know what the song says? It says, we live our life of ups and downs. Well, one day we're here, up here, tomorrow we're not there. And it says, but God says, but he knows how sorrow feels. The song reads, a little part of the song, it says, with the nails in my hands and the nails in my feet, the crown of thorns on my head, I know how sorrow feels. And so all we have to do is focus on Jesus, keep our eyes on Jesus, because he knows exactly what we're going through. He knows what the situation is, and he has the way of escape for us. He will lead us through this storm. He will take us through this difficult time. He will take us through the Red Sea. Can you imagine how the children of Israel, when they came out of captivity, when they got to the Red Sea, they start to cuss Moses. They start to say, what's the point? Are you with me tonight? They were saying, what's the point? You bring us from Egypt. Better you'd have left us back in Egypt. They start to curse me. You remember that story? The children of Israel started to say, what's the point? Until all of a sudden, Moses came and he talked to the Lord and he said to the Father, you're going to have to show your power. You're going to have to demonstrate your power. And the Bible said, God, Moses stretched forth his rod and the Red Sea opened. I could see the surprise on them people's face when they saw the Red Sea. Let me tell you something, saints. God is getting ready to open up a Red Sea for us through the midst of this pandemic. God is getting ready to open up a Red Sea for you, each and every one of you that's on this platform. God is getting ready for you to open, to open up a Red Sea experience for us. But we have to focus on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to talk to Jesus and cry out from the depths of our heart, Lord, save me.
Amen.
You know what happened to Peter? You know what happened to Peter? I think what happened to Peter is like what happened to me. You know when God does some things for us sometimes, he does some big things for us. And instead of giving God the glory, guess what? Because I could imagine Peter walking. If that was me walking on that water, I would have looked around at the other disciples and say, wait a minute, you can't do this. Watch me. And you know, sometimes we're so concerned about what we're doing and what we ought to achieve, instead of saying, thank you, Jesus, for just waking me up this morning, instead of saying, thank you, Jesus, that I've actually got a degree. and maybe some of us got 2 degrees and some of us working towards 3 degrees right now. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, how, and just saying, Father, use me to your name's honor and glory. We're there worrying about looking at other people and thinking, and then before we know it, when we take our mind off Jesus, we begin to sing. But I'm here to let you know, when we cry out from the depths of our heart, when we focus on Jesus, God will open up the Red Sea like he did for Moses. God will open up this let me tell you something, this pandemic. Let me tell you something. You know the people in the pandemic, that's right. The president, the prime minister coming to you, he don't know what he's talking about. They tell you, listen, even the vaccine, people think the vaccine can save everybody now, but they still tell you when you get the vaccine, you can't go and meet nobody, you can't go and hug nobody, and you still can catch the thing. And so I asked, what's the purpose of the vaccine? Because everybody going to still be in the same position that they're in. Guess what? This tells me that, guess what? The only answer to our situation today is to follow the word of God. The only answer through this pandemic is to let God lead us and let him do what is impossible for us. Don't lose hope right now, because God is getting ready to make a way through this pandemic for his people. But we've got to keep our eyes on him. Saints, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will do the impossible. I was able to do the impossible, saints. I was able to get that job. Did I tell you? I didn't finish telling the story. The guy they gave the job to, 3 months down the road, he couldn't hack it. So guess what? They had to. He went to another part-time job, and they brought me over there 3 months later to take the job that I should have had in the first place. And sometimes there's a little delay because we fail to trust God. Sometimes there's a little delay because sometimes God is trying to wake us up to trust him. And I'm here to let somebody know that when you trust God, when you trust him with all your heart, and we lean not on our own understanding, and in all our ways, let's start to acknowledge him. God will direct our path through this wilderness. God will direct our path through this pandemic. God will direct our path through this time of trouble, through this time. Saints of God, this is just a preparation for the final crisis. Some of you didn't know that. Let me see that. No, I've gone past the time. Brother Asher, sorry, Elder Asher, we're supposed to finish right now, isn't it? I should have finished a long time ago. But I don't know what you normally do on a Friday night, but I'm just talking from my heart. Can I talk from my heart? Listen, God is getting ready to make a way through. God is getting ready to take us through. But we have to hold on to Jesus. We have to hold on with all our heart. We have to hold on to him, because he knows what we're going through. And so I'm going to stop. The question Jesus asked Peter, said, why did you doubt me? He said, don't doubt me. Just trust me. Tonight, I want to encourage us to trust the Lord with all our heart. I want to encourage us to just hold on to Jesus Christ. If you feel like you're sinking today, cry out from the depths of your heart, Lord, save me. Yep. If you feel like you're struggling right now, just cry out from the depths of your heart, Lord, save me. And I know immediately he will stretch forth his hand and catch us. He will lift us up. And I could see when he took Peter out of the water, he must have put his arms around it and walked with him back to the dry land. I want you to know, I know things are rough right now, but when you cry out from the depths of your heart, Jesus will catch you. He will lift you up and he will hold you close and walk with you through this pandemic. Walk with you through this time of uncertainty. Walk with you through this difficult time. He will walk with you, and the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Why? Because he knows how sorrow feels. I'm going to ask Brother Asher to play that song again, as we just bow our heads together, as we turn our minds to the Lord and say, Lord, we want to follow you. We want to walk with you. We want to keep our eyes on you so that we can have victory through this troublesome time. If that's the desire of your heart, I wish you could raise your hand or just put up that hand thing on the screen where you are. But just bow your heads where we are as we listen to that song again before we pray tonight.
You live a life of ups and downs, up here today and gone tomorrow. Oh, changes you can't control. They fill you with gloom and sorrow. Call me and I-
let us bow our heads as we pray together. I know we've gone over our time, but I know many of us are going through some struggles even now. The song reminded us that I know your hopes and your dreams. I too have been discouraged, and I know how sorrow feels, reminding us that Jesus has walked this way before us, and he will make a way out of no way for us. So tonight I just want to pray. Let us bow. Father in heaven, tonight some of us are discouraged. Tonight some of us may feel lonely. Some of us are asking the question, what's the point? Recognize that even though the questions come, we know that sometimes, Lord, you allow us to go through these trying times so that we will look to you, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, I pray that your word was clear tonight, in that as long as we keep our eyes on you, even in this pandemic, even in these troublesome times, even when the world seems to be upside down, as long as we keep our eyes on you, we will do the impossible. We will achieve exactly what you want us to achieve. We will do more than we ever hoped to achieve, as long as we focus on you. But tonight, I'm mindful of the fact that some of us may feel like we're sinking. Some of us may feel like we're drowning. Some of us may feel like there is no way out. And Father, just like Peter cried out from the depths of his heart, Lord, save me. Tonight, we cry out to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, save us. Father, we're struggling. We need you to just take hold of our hands. And so tonight, each and every one on this platform, Lord, we cry out from the depths of our heart, Lord, save me. Save us tonight. Give us a new vision. Give us hope. Give us strength. And keep us focusing on you so that we, from this day forward, will be able to do the impossible and to walk with you into this uncertain future. So, Lord, reach out and stretch and touch our hands tonight. Hold us close to you as you save us in your eternal kingdom. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And lay your healing hand on many of us tonight who have experienced sickness and illness. In the name of Jesus, we pray for healing. Bless us now. Grant us healing. Grant us strength. Not only physical, but spiritual. And keep us keep us faithful, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.